fresh word from the Lord before we go to anything. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is faithful and true, and there's none like Him. Praise be to God. We thank You, Master. We thank You, Master. We thank You. As we began to praise and worship the Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon me and began to travail and intercede. And began to rip me apart, actually. And the word that kept being expressed to me was, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. He said, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Jesus warned His disciples while He prayed three times. And every time He came back, He had to basically wake them up because they were falling asleep. He said, watch and pray or you'll fall into temptation. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. One of the things the enemy tries to do is cause us to sleep. When we fall asleep, we miss God. We can be so busy and fall asleep. Hello? And not even realize it. Because some of the busyness we can get caught up in could be flesh busy instead of God busy. He said to me, the stretch is at hand. In other words, He is stretching to tear off the old wineskins. It's going to hurt. It's going to be discomfortable. It's going to bruise. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer of self. Let me see if I can read this myself. I was shaking while I was writing this. I think it was written in tongues. The suffering of self is manifesting. The labor is increasing. What He was saying is, my load for your work is heavy. It's causing us to stretch. I mean, you all feel stretched. It's going to stretch till it tears. It's going to hurt. It's going to bruise, but it's going to heal. It's a time of suffering. The suffering of self is manifesting. The labor increases. The training increases. He said, my power and my presence will increase to sustain you. This may sound strange. Myself and my Father want to thank all of you here for the labor, for the stretching, for the going the extra mile. I want to thank our staff, all those involved in this ministry, for stretching and going the extra mile. I want to thank everybody here for allowing God to stretch you and to go the extra mile. The tearing. I'm telling you, He said His power and His presence will increase to sustain you. He said He has a great work to do through us, a great work to do through us. As my promises were to Abraham for promised land and plenty, so are you not the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the offspring of my son, that all these things are available to you for my work. He said, don't sleep, don't sleep, don't sleep. You are in your season. Then He finished it and said, the counsel of the Lord has spoken this. I've never received in that degree, in that area where He said, the counsel of the Lord has spoken this. In other words, it's kingdom business. And it is kingdom business, isn't it? Don't fall asleep. It's time. Don't fall asleep. Amen. There's more work to do. God is opening these doors to do many things. And He's preparing us for this great work that's happening. So many times we don't even see what's going on. But He does. Stand fast. Don't be moved. Be faithful with a little and He'll give you more. Don't compromise nor become complacent. For the places you step will become holy. He's granted and prepared this great work that our hearts may be united, that we become like-minded. That's what the breaking is about now. There's a breaking. God is breaking us to prune us, to bear more fruit. We are in our season. There's a tremendous harvest out there right now. Tremendous in all areas. He grieves. He grieves because of the traditions of men. He grieves because too many are being lost. He grieves. Spirit of independence has infiltrated His body. It's a sickness and a disease. And He wants to heal His body of these things. So I want to encourage every one of you to hold fast to what He's given you. And even though you may not know what He's given you, hold fast. Everything will come to pass. Everything. Because there is a great work to be done. Don't sleep. You are in your season. Don't sleep. Amen? Praise God. Let's give the Lord a powerful hand. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Glory to God. Luke chapter 2. Is everybody all right? Everybody feel the presence of God? Hoo-wee. Thank you, Master. Everybody have a sense of travail in your spirit today? Intercession. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Oh, bless your Master. Bless your Master. Luke 2, 41. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. And Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing Him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought Him among their relatives and acquaintances. Obviously, the families cruised together. And when they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking Him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple. Everybody say 3 days. Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both what? Listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. So when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And He said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which He spoke to them. This is the first time recorded Jesus spoke. What did he say? I must be about my Father's business. It's the first time recorded that he spoke. I must be about my Father's business. After 3 days, he was found. After 3 days. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Something was very profound here that stretched out to me. He was with the elders and scribes and Pharisees and teachers and so forth in the temple. And it says something that he was doing. It says in verse 46, so but it was after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both what? Listening to them and asking them questions. This was Jesus listening to them and asking them questions. Does everybody understand that? But, you know, Jesus always has a tendency to ask questions, because he brings a question so that the answer is right there. He gets our attention in certain questions. He may ask you, what are you doing? Why are you here? He's always looking for an answer from us. It entices communication. Two things that were very powerful. And where did Jesus came as the example for me and you. God wants us to be about his business, doesn't he? Amen? He wants us to be about his business. The first thing that must be established is that we must be listening. Amen? Listening. Now, I keep telling everyone, God's walk is not a need-to-know basis. But there are some times when he will ask you a question. Amen? And he's expecting an answer. You can get by with, Lord, your will be done for a period of time. Then he wants an answer. I know that's how he did it with me. Two things that were manifested here in the arena of being about your Father's business. Number one, listen. You cannot be about your Father's business if you cannot listen. Amen? We must listen. The first words Jesus was recorded in the Bible. I must be about my Father's business. And the last words recorded in the Bible, while he was doing his earthly ministry before he was crucified, was, it is finished. Does everybody understand that? The first words were what? I must be about my Father's business. And the final words were, it is finished. Does everybody understand that? So the things that he gives us, he expects us to what? Finish. God never interrupts himself. That's when you know it's not God. Amen? He never interrupts himself. Never. I must be about my Father's business. It is finished. The way you're going to finish it is by listening and answering. Who are you answering to? Him. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 40. This was prophesied. Psalm 40. Now are we not the offsprings? Are we not the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Then when God speaks about Jesus in the Bible, is he speaking about you? Yes, he is. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Oh, to God be the glory. I hope you brought your notepads and your pens and your Bibles. We can always repent. We got to be ready in season and out, right? Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, are my God, are your wonderful works. Come on, read it with me. Which you have done. And your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have what? Opened. Why? He was listening. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. Who are they talking about? Jesus. Are they talking about you too? Yes. Are you not written in the book? Amen. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I did not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have what? Declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. So what did he do? He expressed his righteousness, declared his faithfulness, salvation, loving kindness, and he declared his truth, didn't he? Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord, and let your loving kindness and your truth continually to what? Preserve me. Oh, hallelujah. Let them what? Preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me, and my iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. But let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, And let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Everybody say, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay. Oh my God. That's a powerful prayer, isn't it? That was a prayer from the heart. This is a prayer for me and you. Amen. This is a prayer Jesus prayed. This was prophecy of him coming. Would you turn to 1 John 5? After 3 days, they found him, didn't they? Oh, hallelujah. Why does it always take 3 days? I mean, if you begin to think about all the things that are coordinated and associated with three in the Bible. 1 John chapter 5. How many of y'all, Jesus came in the fullness of the Spirit? Amen? 1 John chapter 5. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by what? Water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are what? One. That's why I truly believe that Jesus was always fulfilling the Trinity when he was on the earth. That's why things were associated with three. He was always fulfilling the Trinity. Let's go further. Hallelujah. And there are three what? That bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three what? Agree as one. So they were one, weren't they? Sometimes, I know sometimes it takes about 3 days for us to get things. My wife will amen to that. Sometimes it takes 3 days to really get that impartation or revelation. You may not really fully get this, fully get it in your spirit. It may take 3 days to really just, it may hit you now. But the fullness of it, because it usually takes 3 days for the manifestation. Sometimes it takes 3 days for that revelation. Sometimes, you know, God had spoke to you, and then all of a sudden, 3 days later, it's like, whoa, I get it now. If you ever counted the days, you'll find that almost 99.9% of the time, it's 3 days. Because of the fulfillment of Trinity. 3 days Jesus was in hell, wasn't he? Oh, hallelujah. 3 times he prayed, didn't he? Remember when they fell asleep? In fact, man is made of what? 3 parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus, he says, I am who was, who is, and who is to come. I mean, there's so much more. But I'm just sharing with you sometimes, and I really believe that in this arena where he was, that was the starting of it, what it was, 3 days. When they found him, what did he say? I'm about my Father's business. Amen? Wait a minute, where you been for 3 days? About my Father's business. See, it was prophetic, wasn't it, that it would have to come? Because that was a whole fulfillment of everything that would have to come, is that he would fulfill things. He would fulfill the first 3 feasts in 3 days. Fulfillment. That's what is being about God's business. Everything that God gives you from kingdom business, is about his business, and it must be finished in everything we do. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2? Like I said, sometimes it takes 3 days to get the manifestation, revelation. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Would you read it with me? Little children, it is the last hour, and as you've heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Now he's talking about the head honcho Antichrist. Amen. Satan himself is going to come into the flesh. Okay. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. In other words, many people are coming against the move of God's Spirit. They are against, anti meaning come against, Christ meaning anointing, God's presence. There's a lot of religion going on, but there's a lot of people who are not willing to allow the Spirit to do what he wants to do. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Hallelujah. It says in verse 19 that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. There are many antichrists. In fact, all of Satan's kingdom is antichrist. Every demon is a spirit of antichrist. His whole purpose is to get us out of position so that the fulfillment of Christ cannot be manifested in me and you. Does everybody understand that? So that the fulfillment of Christ's presence, the anointing, see, God has anointed us, and because he's anointed us, he's trying to manifest his fullness of his image and likeness in us and through us. That's why we can't be moved. Every time we get moved, then there's a delay. And God is rushing right now. There's an urgency. His Spirit cries out, no more delays. No more sleeping. Do you understand it? Listen, when you sleep, you get deceived. You miss God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. In verse 20, but what does it say? But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? Where was he? He's saying, I was being about my Father's business. Listen, he was listening and asking questions. The questions that he was asking them were blowing their mind. Then they would bring something back and he would answer certain things. Jesus has a tendency to answer with a question. Amen? If you read through the parables, he always has a tendency to answer with a question. And this anointing that we have, he says, that you would know all things. Well, Jesus knew all things, right? Hallelujah. In verse 21, would you read it? Read it with me. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Denies the Father and the Son. So when you're not doing God's will, are you denying the Father and the Son? Amen. Have you associated with the spirit of Antichrist? Yes. Has everybody got it? Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. Go to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So I want to re-emphasize this. The anointing is a person. Amen? The anointing is a person. Oh, hallelujah. The anointing is a what? Is a person. The anointing knows all things, teaches you, brings you to all things. In other words, we must become instruments. Oh, actually, let's go to verse 28. I want to go there. Would you read it with me? And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Ooh. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Wow. So there's an arena where you and I must become instruments of righteousness. Amen? You know, when Jesus, when this was going on with Jesus, he said, I'm about my Father's business. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he said, I am the Father. Does everybody understand that? There was a difference. First, he was about his Father's business, wasn't he? And then when the anointing came upon him, of course, he was born with the anointing, wasn't he? But of course, he was the Spirit. But then the mantle came from the throne room of God that came upon him, because that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the mantle from the throne room of God. He came upon Jesus. Now he said, if you see me, you see the Father. It's different. See, God wants to express the Trinity through me and you. Does everybody got it? He wants to express the Father, the Son, and the Spirit through me and you. That's why he's the one that could say, I am the way, truth, and life. You know what? You can say that you're the way, truth, and life now. Why? Not because we're God, but because we are the temple of God. Does everybody understand that? Anyone who comes to Jesus has eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. So we must be about our Father's business. We must become instruments of righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 6. You say, I want to be an instrument of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be about my Father's business. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Come on, read it with me. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Come out from what? The world. And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. What's unclean? Anything that God says isn't clean. Are thoughts unclean? Yes. Is disobedience unclean? Yes. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Who's cleansing us? We are. He said, cleanse yourself. Now we know we got to go to the Lord, right? But he said, cleanse yourself. How do you cleanse yourself? Repent. Cleanse yourself. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the what? Flesh. And spirit, perfecting holiness in the what? Fear of God. Righteousness is holiness. The Bible, Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. So righteousness is holiness, isn't it? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Is everybody all right? Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, huh? Praise God. Verse 15, would you read it with me? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall they then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Everybody say, I'm not my own. Verse 20, for you are what? Bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's why he says, come out from among them. Does everybody understand that? And what? Get clean. Get cleansed. There's seven quick little things I just want to throw in here. In Romans 6. Hallelujah. Simple, quick teaching here. One of the things about being about God's business, being about your Father's business, is we're to preach the kingdom of God in righteousness. But we must also be righteousness. Righteousness is associated with holiness, or we disqualify ourselves. Romans chapter 6. Is everybody there? In verse 10. Oh, to God be the glory. Romans 6:10. Would you read it with me? For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. I say, everybody say, I live to God. See, you can't live for God until you first live to God. Everybody's trying to live for God, but you can't live for God until you live to God. Does everybody got it? You must live to him. Then you can live for him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its what? Lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Are you alive from the dead? Amen. Amen. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So we must live a life to God and not just for God. Once you live it to him, then you can live it for him. Amen? You can't live a life for him until you live it to him. Listen, if you live in the world, you become worldly. If you live in the Bible, you become holy. Everybody got it? If you live in the world, you become worldly. If you live in the Bible, you become holy. A life to God and for God is the first thing. The second thing, Go to 1 John chapter 5. You want to be about your Father's business? Praise God. So do I. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, bless your holy name, Master. First John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Would you read it with me? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. See, if you're truly walking the anointing, the requests are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, the word believe means to what? Follow. Now, let me share something with you. The second thing is that there must be a life of no defeat. There must be a life of no defeat. We as Christians should be a victorious life in everything. No matter what it is. I don't care what it is. You might make a mistake, but it still should not defeat you. There should be a victorious life as a believer. You and I should be able to overcome every obstacle that comes in our life and in our path. Did Jesus fail in anything? No. Was he defeated? No. He was victorious. So then, how much more should we be victorious? I mean, he left his spirit with me and you. Amen? Live a victorious life. There should be no defeat. None. Go to John chapter 6. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, I thank you, Father. How many of y'all want to be about your Father's business? Praise God. There's a price to pay. Of course, we have a three-letter word for that. Hallelujah. Die. Hi. Welcome to the house of death. John 6:58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples did what? Complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." It is the Spirit who gives life to flesh. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray them. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, he turned to them and said, "Do you also want to go away?" In other words, they weren't willing to pay the price. The third thing is we must have a life of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Amen? We must have a life of the Spirit and not of the flesh. There's a wonderful example of this. Go to Jonah. Oh, hallelujah. Jonah. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. The book of Jonah. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 1. Everybody read it with me. Glory! Did anybody find the book of Jonah? It's in there, I can guarantee you. It's right after Obadiah. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, my King. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose and fled. He fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his own God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down and was what? Fast what? Asleep. Oh, hallelujah. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? What a word of the Lord we had today is don't sleep. What was Jonah doing? Sleeping. Even the captain called him a sleeper. Arise, call on your God. What's the matter with you, man? Don't you see we're out here getting beat up? Somebody's out of place in here. Arise, you boneheaded sleeper. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Man, these guys are fighting for their life. You got to remember something. They were carrying cargo, precious cargo. They just weren't making a trip. This was not one of these passenger airline cruise ships. Yeah, that was supposed to be carrying all kinds of people. They had precious cargo that they had to start throwing overboard. In other words, their trip was now coming null and void. They were fighting for their life. And in verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? What do you do, man? I mean, you know, why is this happening here? You know somebody. Something's going on here. Somebody's after your blessed assurance, man, and we're in trouble because something you're doing. What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. See, you can say you're a believer. I'm a Christian, and I reverence the Lord. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now you got to understand something. Jonah knew God's voice. He took God's presence for granted. Took it for granted. For someone to know God's voice or to know God's presence and to walk away to do his own will. Hello? To not do what God has asked him to do was going to cause trouble. He took his presence for granted, didn't he? He became comfortable. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 11. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you.
for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land. They thought, what are you crazy? Throwing you in the water ain't going to do any good. We're just going to continue to light the load. You ain't that big. Because they were thinking carnally, weren't they? Therefore, they cried out to the Lord. Now, in other words, where they were still rowing and things were in verse 14. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish with this man. Please do not let us perish with this man's life. And do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Now, here's something very powerful, because the boat just got saved. God is always working. You know, here is Jonah being disobedient to God, trying to come from God's presence, trying to run from God's presence, trying to run from his voice. I'm telling you, you cannot plug your ears when God is speaking. I tried. You can ask my wife. Freaked her out. Freaked me out too. When God speaks to you, maybe other people, but there's an arena where God will speak to you audibly. And you can cover your ears, you can do anything that you want, and it's not going to stop God from speaking. And that's how he spoke to Jonah. He spoke to him, and Jonah chose not to obey. He began to run from the presence of the Lord because he got comfortable with God's presence. He lost the reverence to God's presence. Amen? He lost the reverence. And he began running. And he knew, he said, well, you know, he just throw me in the water. And these guys were, wait a minute here. Therefore, they cried out to God. Why? Because they feared what was going to happen. They cast lots and it fell on Jonah, so they knew Jonah was the problem. So they said, well, look at, if he's not going to cry out to his God, we're going to. And they all got saved. So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. You tell me those guys could stop sweating now. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered up a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So here these guys, when they threw Jonah in the water, they saw it all come. They said, okay, this is the Creator. He knows the God, the Creator of the water, land, air, and sea. He knows him. Man, we better change that. No more of these gods. So these guys offered up a sacrifice and made a vow before God Almighty. They made a covenant with him. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. God wasn't done with Jonah. He said, okay, Jonah, you ran from me, you disobeyed me, but I'm not done with you. Let me rescue this boat so these guys, I don't lose them. So the boat got saved, all the men got saved, right? The sea calmed. God wasn't done with Jonah. God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. In other words, the Lord had everything in preparation. That fish was probably cruising the whole time, you know, right next to the boat, getting ready, going, come on, hallelujah, we're going from the boat. That's the first submarine ever created. Jonah was the first one to go in a submarine, hallelujah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. There we go, 3 days. Took him 3 days to get revelation. 3 days and three nights. Amen. Then what happened? Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, which means hell, I cried. And you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to soul, my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. He wasn't comfortable. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you and to your holy temple. Those who regarded worthless idols forsake their own mercy. but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish. And it threw, it vomited Jonah out on the dry land. You know what the fish did? He brought him to Nineveh. Hello? He got there faster than he could by the boat. Hello? He got there just because, remember, God told him to go there, right? He went the opposite way, didn't he? He went the total opposite way. If you look on a map and see the difference of the distance, it's way the opposite way. But once Jonah repented, it took him 3 days to get the revelation. While he was repenting for 3 days, praying to God, the fish was bringing him to Nineveh. Spit him right on the land and said, go do what you got to do now. Hello? He got there before. He'd have never made it going by boat. Does everybody understand that? He got there ahead of time. All in God's timing. Number four, we must live a life of obedience and must maintain the reverence and fear of His presence. Do not be so familiar with God's presence that you become complacent. Amen? Why? Because you want to be about God's business. Then that reverence must always be there. Number five, go to Proverbs 3. Oh, hallelujah. See, when you repent, God puts you right back in position, doesn't He? There's a little... Sometimes He allows that deep repentance, that shaking. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, praise You, Lord. Is everybody okay? Don't lean on your own understanding, okay? In verse 7 and 8, read it with me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be what? Health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Maintain that reverence and fear. Maintain that reverence and fear. That's the fifth one. We must live a life of obedience is the fourth. And the fifth one is to maintain that reverence of fear. Amen? Reverence to God. No matter what it takes. Go to Proverbs 11. Number 6. Proverbs 11:14. Would you read it with me, please? Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people what? Fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Maintain counsel. Don't assume. Amen? The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, not assuming. Maintain your counsel. And the seventh one, go to Hebrews 12. Oh, praise You, Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Praise You. Thank You. Is everybody okay? In verse 3. Hebrews 12:3. Read it with me. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted a bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. So you must endure it. Amen. The seventh one is, don't be offended or run from the chastening of the Lord. He says, listen, if you endure it. Amen. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profits, that we may be partakers of his what? Holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but what? Painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been what? Trained by it. And that's the seventh one. I want to close in Galatians 2:20. Hallelujah. About my Father's business. Thank you, Master. Galatians 2:20. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Galatians 2:20. Guess I better get there. Everyone read it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And we do not want to labor in vain, do we? We want to be about our Father's business. So the seven attributes or characters, things that God is requiring us to be about our Father's business, is to live a life to God and for God. Live a life of no defeat. Never give up. A life in the Spirit, not the flesh. A life of obedience. A life that maintains reverence. A life that maintains counsel. And a life that endures chastening of the Lord. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, let this word be imparted and grow and bear fruit for your glory. Because we in this room are here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't want to be about our Father's business. We wouldn't be here, Lord, if we didn't want counsel, correction, and direction from your throne. Lord, we wouldn't be here if we didn't want more of you. We're here because you're pruning us, you're stretching us, you're putting new wineskins on us, you're purifying us, you're establishing us, you're perfecting us, that you would receive all the glory. Lord, we want to get those crowns that one day we stand before you and pass them on to you and say, it's for your glory, my King. Those crowns. That we run the race according to your will. Not cheating, not compromising, and not complaining, but running the full course that you've set for us, that we may bring home souls, that we may expand your kingdom, express your love, and bring glory to your name. Father, we love you, and we welcome you. Your will be done, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.